is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Having a child with autism is one of the biggest challenges a parent has to face. At Autism Parenting Magazine, we know there are moments of sadness, anger, and exhaustion. Many times, you feel alone and need support from the autism community. That's why we created the award-winning Autism Parenting Magazine. Every month, we feature the latest coping strategies, therapies, and expert advice for autism parents to inspire and bring hope. Join over 37,000 readers today and get a free issue of Autism Parenting Magazine by going to autismparentingmagazine.com.
Welcome back to autismradio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on again this week. We have a really cool topic for our listeners and our readers. We asked them that, does your child with autism have any obsessions that they fixate on? If so, does it become an issue? And how do you handle it as a parent? And we asked our listeners to share their stories, and we had a lot of responses. So why don't you kick it off with sharing some?
Okay. First one said her daughter has an obsession with beads, watches, and bracelets. She wears a bunch at a time. Next person said Legos. Next person said my son is two. He obsesses over a bopper for fishing, which he has with him at all times, and he freaks out or has the biggest meltdown because they have to go everywhere with him, and he sleeps with them too. He's also obsessed with balls. If he sees one, he wants it. My son is five, and he obsesses over theme park rides. Roller coasters are a big one for him. He obsesses over certain toys. Some change day to day, last a week or so, and she said, I just let him do it. My son is 11 and obsessed with trains. We don't take them away, but we have slowly taught him to learn about trains and get into the model train instead of the Thomas the Trains. Train shows, train rides, lots of train books. Hope that helps. My son is 3.5, and he obsesses over things, but in phases. First it was ants. He would cry and beg to go outside and watch them run around. I let him work through his latest obsessions for as long as he needs. My 7-year-old honestly focused on a person. Until this year, it was a sweet little boy who, though he was not autistic, sensed to understand her. He was such a blessing. He loved her. This year, because they were worried about the two being reacting, I got cut off here. Sorry about that. Okay. My boy is 15 and will obsess over whatever that day. The next day, it might be something else. It's very frustrating to keep up on what he's obsessing over each day. One day it was a candy bar, next it was a pillow, then it was a cat, then his phone charger. These things still send my son into a freak out. I don't know what to do about it. It's a new thing he is expressing. And then the next person said, even my typical kids have obsessions, so I wouldn't worry. Her two autistic kids, her son is 7 and her daughter is 15, is obsessed. Her son loves trains, and her daughter is obsessed with dragons, dinosaurs, Pokemon, and the weather. They both have autism, so it's a little extreme. But I tell them to embrace who they are and like what they like, as long as they're themselves and are open to other interests. Next one said, my son is obsessed with the movie Cars, so he has a whole set of the minis. He also likes all the scenes from that movie and plays it out on the kitchen table, and he knows every line, word for word. My son is 4. He's obsessed with cars, mainly Hot Wheels. The first speech therapist we had come into our house, had him work with him. I would take them from him, and he'd have a meltdown and completely shut off from what she was trying to teach him. Puzzles, books, blocks, he had all those toys as well, but he wanted his cars. I didn't feel she was working out, so I got a new therapist, and she said to use the cars to our full advantage and use them as rewards. And then he learned coloring. He learned his colors by using the cards. That was the last answer I had, and I actually have to agree with that person is to, and I think this is something that Temple Grandin always said, is that you should use what they're interested in to your advantage. If they're obsessed with something, it's something that they're interested in and they're motivated by. I don't understand why, and I remember this, maybe things have changed, but when my son was little, they would always tell me to try to change him or make him stop doing what he likes to do. And I was like, well, I can't because he does it 24 hours a day. How are you going to stop him, you know? Eventually, I said, let's just move on because he's not going to like doing puzzles and blocks and all the things that typical kids like to do when he was little. I don't know how your son was, but my son never did any of the typical things that kids do when he was little.
No, it was definitely, there was
all day long.
A lot of stimming for sure. You know, it's funny. Some of the professionals, you know, explain about obsession with kids with autism. And this is like, you know, coming from doctors and how, you know, they kind of categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that everybody with autism pretty much has something they're very, very interested in. And I think, you know, it's funny because there's a fine line between a special interest and a serious obsession. So what they do is they try to, like, I guess there's a balancing act between a child on a spectrum because what they say is why obsessions and why they really need them. I mean, there's a difference because, not to be like cynical, but normal people have interests and autistic people, they say, have obsessions. And sometimes, you know, they are not the same. It's the other people's perceptions that may differ. And it's mainly because that they express their love for things is less than normal way that other people do it. Giving an example, when there was a boy who was 7 years old who had a main interest in, say, playing with dinosaurs, and most young children would express their love for dinosaurs, you know, pretending to roar, maybe stomping, you know, like on the playground, express, you know, their love by telling people they wanted to be a paleontologist and tell them how they would spell it. Memorizing geological errors from the, you know, from that error, learning maybe the Latin words, and they knew what dinosaur names meant and researching to the stage where they could grab a piece of paper and even write down 91 different species of dinosaurs on paper.
Wow.
You know, so, and if teachers back then known about autism back then, I'm sure they would have called it a autistic obsession rather than a legitimate interest. So this is where the fine line is, because, you know, a lot of people in education, you know, sometimes can say, you know, children, especially that have Asperger's, they might have enthusiasm for, say, like playing chess, where, you know, those who knew about Asperger's, there's a small number of adults that encountered who clearly believed that it was an autistic obsession rather than an honest enthusiasm like other people have. So I think this is part of the problem with, you know, obsessions. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, because you don't want to, you know, give up on it. You know, some people have done really well with having what they would call today maybe an obsession in a specific area, which, you know, you don't want to encourage someone, you know. So, like, before you, you know, encourage autistic people away from their obsessions, you want to make sure that you aren't actually legitimately taking interests away, which secretly could be doing a world of good. So I think that's the
thing. The obsessions and repetitive behaviors and routines can be a source of enjoyment for the autistic people and a way of coping with everyday life. And that's what I found with my son. It says it may limit their involvement in other people in limit people's involvement in other activities and cause distress and anxiety. And this is a quote from an autistic person. My mind was constantly whirling with thoughts, worries, and concerns. The time spent with my obsession was the only time I had to clear my mind. It gave me much thought after relaxation. And I think even if it is something that's a self-stimulatory behavior and not necessarily an obsession, I feel like if it calms them down and it's something that soothes them and it's not dangerous to any, of course, with the severe kids, you have to be careful with that too, is obviously if it's not hazardous to their health or to someone else's health, that it's, but if it's something that just calms them down, I think it's not fair to tell them to stop doing it. That's my opinion.
Right. Well, good example. You mentioned Temple Grandin. You know, she turned her interest in cattle to an honorable end of loving animals and believing that the meat eating world still deserved humane slaughterhouses. And Grandin became a star consultant in the meat packing industry by greatly reducing animal suffering.
Right.
And many of the extraordinary cases, like, you know, Grandin's, are, of course, you know, a minority of an interest that can sometimes be the way to make friends, but sometimes also a way to lose possibly friends. But if you happen to have an interest in, say, let's say, a popular, you know, football team like the Giants or something, then you find out a lot of other people who share your similar interests, and you may be really happy to talk, you know, with them about it.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps not as much as you like it as a special interest, but it's possible just to have something in common. And a lot of times, you know, I guess, you know, the fear is neurotypical people might want to change the subject after a while, whereas they're saying, kids with autism are obsessed with it. On the other hand, there's, you know, a lot of special interest in collecting, you know, data from anyone they meet. I've met kids where they want to know the birth dates of someone.
Yeah.
And they'll, you know, memorize that. And it can be frustrating for both the person with autism and the people they try to talk to. But it's worth noting that not all these special interests and obsessions are expressed by long monologues, that a lot of people with autism don't have the language skills to do that.
Right.
But they can still have the obsessions.
Right.
Especially in younger children, because special interests may often be expressed in actions rather than in speech. A child might be fascinated with shoes, for instance, and may spend all their time at home playing with their mom or dad's shoes.
Right.
And they may examine a shoes of a stranger when you're out and about. And that can be obviously very difficult because it can lead to a socially unacceptable behavior. You know, one thing about the shoes, you know, obviously, but to grab them off of a person's foot, like being on a bus or a train or so, or a plane or something, and then the child would have a tantrum, and then you try to obviously move the child along after. But, you know, those are the fine line, I guess, between, you know, the obsession and you know, appropriate behavior. So.
And it also says repetitive behavior in autistic people is not the same as OCD, which is an anxiety disorder in which people experience repetitive thoughts and behaviors that are upsetting to them. Which, you know, in other words, repetitive behaviors vary from person to person, but the reasons an autistic child may have it is due to an attempt to gain sensory input, like rocking, attempt to reduce sensory input. Focusing on one particular sound may reduce the impact of a loud, distressing environment, to deal with stress and anxiety and to block out uncertainty and to pass the time and provide enjoyment. So that's more of the self-stimming type of that we have with our kids. And I have to tell you, like I said, when Michael was little, I mean, they tried everything for years and years and years, and I said, it's not going to work. Like, he's just not going to do it. He's not interested in it. And I felt bad, you know, because they kept trying to change my child. And then it wasn't until maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 or whatever it was, and we realized that he loves music. And that was his main thing that he was motivated by. And now he has come so far by them using, they actually use the self-stimulatory behaviors to motivate him, which I told them to do, because I knew that that was the only way they were going to get him to work, was to let him have that as a reward, and then to use the self-stimulating behaviors, and then also to, you know, and then now he loves his videos. I mean, his music is his life. I mean, he he loves music like, forget it. I mean, he knows what song. He can fast forward. He's, you know, using the iPad because of the music. He's watching movies because they have music in them. So that has changed his life, and that has made our life a lot easier. So I think sometimes if you find what they're interested in and what motivates them, that's really the key for them to progress, you know?
Sure. No, of course. You know, I think, and parents sometimes, you know, they might listen to their son or daughter talk about their favorite subject all the time, which can be stressful for parents, you know, however you love your kid, but maybe you don't love their favorite subject.
Right.
And bluntly, you know, a lot of parents go through this that, you know, they love it even less after, you know, they've heard it after time after time. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, we don't have that issue, but I know a lot of parents that do have that challenge.
Right.
And, you know, parents can't help but feeling stressed or even bored more than their son or daughter can wanting to talk about this topic or subject over and
over. When they do the echolalia and they repeat the movie nonstop, line by line, nonstop. I mean, I could see where that would be very irritating.
I think it can help if some parents actually set some boundaries with their child, maybe like make a rule where their son or daughter can talk about their interest for, say, I don't know, three times a day for maybe 20 minutes at a time. That way their son or daughter can actually get to enjoy talking about it, their subject, and everybody else gets to enjoy some time where the subject doesn't dominate the whole day, maybe.
Right.
So I don't know. There's some ideas there, and some of the professionals, you know, talk about, you know, teaching a child with autism, you know, what is and isn't socially acceptable behavior can be obviously extremely difficult, and it's a work in progress. But, you know, there is some basics, obviously, such as you don't want to grab strangers, or coat buttons are going to be, like, important things. You don't want to touch people's bodies, and you don't want to follow or stare at people, and you don't want to go, you know, into marked off areas like behind a counter in a store without permission. So, you know, these are things that, you know, obviously you can work on with your child, but they could be difficult, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just trying to keep that fine line. But like I said, you know, you don't want to discourage a behavior where a child might be obsessed with trains or cars or whatever it might be.
Right. And one of the things I read about also, they said increase the structure of their environment might help to reduce it. Use visual supports and social stories to show them what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Find product suppliers. Visit Do to Learn for some free picture symbols. Change sequencing transition time and break times, and manage anxiety, which they recommended the Brain in Hands app, Autism Experience Counselor. So, yeah, I mean, if you maybe have a more structured environment and show them, a time frame, like you can do it from this time to this time, and then, you know, we have to put a stop to it, that's good, too.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, and the thing is, they're usually happy. You know, they're not seem unhappy about doing these things.
Right.
And I guess the bottom line is it causing a serious problem for other people, you know, and that's the whole thing. You know, I think you got to kind of gauge what kind of obsession they might have. Is it making people miserable, like your siblings, or it's taking over your family life?
Right, so, that's true.
You know, so there's, you know, you got to kind of, I guess, work on it and see, you know, because it could be turning into a stim where, you know, they start engaging and they just stop engaging with everything else, and it just becomes repetitive for, you know, for the repetitive.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the professionals and psychologists, they try to work on this and, you know, to find, you know, some obsessions that might be, you know, might be an issue, might be a problem. So, you know, if things are getting out of hand for parents, it's probably not a good, you know, not a bad idea, you know, to step in and get some professional help, because you don't want to spoil your child's pleasure in their life. And but when they're suffering with an obsession causes the outweighing and the pleasure, it may be time to actually step in and do something.
Right.
You know, but you don't want to remove your child's interest. I think that's the key.
Yeah, that's the key. And also, to sometimes it takes a while to zone in on that. Like I said, zone in on what motive. I know, especially with Michael, like with the severe end, sometimes it's hard to tell what will motivate them. But as they get older, you know, then it's you do learn more about what your child might be interested in, and it can be, you know, like I said, a huge step in the right direction if you can find something that does motivate them. Because I know with him, like I said, it was very hard to find things that motivated him when he was young. And now it's just a whole nother, not that, it, you know, it's easy, but learning these things, really the music, I mean, he puts a headset on, we could take him to, it's a whole other world now. We can take him to a restaurant, sits down, listens to his music with his headset on, which, you know, 4 years ago, or whatever, 3 years ago, he wouldn't do that. You know, he wouldn't be even sitting with an iPad. So, but because he's so motivated by the music that, you know, and he even went to a rock concert, which we never thought in a million years he'd be able to go to a rock concert, but because he likes music so much, he was able to do that. So you never know where life's going to take you, just to give those people out there with young kids hope. You know, if you asked me 3 or 4 years ago what he'd be doing, I would never have expected this change in him. So you really got to find that passion, I think, too, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But we want to, you know, this is a great topic, and we want to thank all the support that we got from our listeners. Definitely appreciate it. I think it was a great topic to discuss, you know, and it's something that's a work in progress, obviously, for many, many families that are going through it. So
yeah,
definitely feel free to share your experiences anytime you want to talk about anything on the show. You know, call our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777, or use our toll-free email number, at questions@autismradio.org. And you can email us anytime, become part of the show. And like I said, you know, don't feel embarrassed or nervous about leaving a voicemail. If you have any questions or comments, or want to even, you know, share your voicemail with us, and we'll play it here on the air. So we also have a great thing right now available. We have Rob Keller MD formula, which is a great formula, really changed our lives, which you can read about on autismradio.org. we have a unique code. If you enter code HOPE to it, you'll get 50% off discount on your first order. So you can go to robkellermd.com today and you'll get 50% off your first order. So definitely check it out if you're interested in working on your health. It's some great products that have really done amazing things for our family. So definitely want to share that with you in the community. And then Dr. Keller also is giving back money to autismradio.org as a donation. So right now doing some really great stuff for us in the community. Like I said, I, you know, take this formula every day. It does wonders for me. It does wonders for my son. You know, really seems to do amazing things. So, definitely check that out. Also, don't forget, we have our snap laces, which are still available. You can enter the code number, HOPE at the HOPE 20 at the checkout and receive the special pricing. You get 20% off by visiting snaplaces.com/hope. And also, don't forget, we have our jewelry. We launched this out right before Christmas. It was a little later than we would have liked to roll it out, but you can get some great personalized pendants by going to coolcharm.com/autismradio. You can also go right to our website, and you'll see a link, and it'll take you right to their site, and you'll be able to customize your autism jewelry for your loved ones. So really cool stuff. They do a lot of different ones. I know Lynn has some. They're great.
Yeah, I love them.
You can customize them. You can get your child's name put on them. You can get any kind of puzzle piece or heart or whatever you want. If you send them a customized logo or something, they're able to do that as well. Really cool stuff. We have our Autism Radio and Hope Saves the Day ones also available. So if that's something you want to wear and you're proud to be a part of our show and so show your support for Hope Saves the Day or Autism Radio, you can get yours today and receive 20% off. And also 20% goes to Autism Radio as a donation. So it's really a win-win for everybody. Just really cool stuff. Got a lot of good things coming up this year. Want to give a shout out to our good friend, Anya Battaglio. She is a player for the Connecticut Whales team, which is a professional hockey team in the National Women's Hockey League. We cross paths on Twitter. She's a huge fan of Autism Radio, and she's hoping to do something and have some synergy between autism awareness and one of their games with Autism Radio. So she would love to partner up with us. So I want to give a shout out to her and wish, of course, her great success in her season this year with the Connecticut Whale team. So a lot of really good stuff. Our martial arts program is really rolling out. It's great. It's every other Friday. It's actually up in Sussex, New Jersey at One Hampton Drive. Iron Temple Martial Arts. Definitely go to the website. Check it out. It's a free program for your child wanting to try something new, you know, learning some great martial arts as well as having some fun, really seeing the focus and the concentration and the behaviors and the major changes we've seen in the program with these kids already. It's been about 6 months. We've rolled this program out now, and it's growing every day. So definitely check it out if you're living in that area or anywhere around there. Definitely check out Iron Temple Martial Arts. It's a great school. And we want to thank Master Dave Fritz, who runs the Iron Temple. He does such an amazing job with our children. So a huge thank you to Dave out there for sure. Lynn, we want to thank all our listeners, of course, for the continued support here on the program on Hope Saves the Day. And, of course, Autism Radio. We have a lot of stuff going on in the community. We got some stuff coming up, which I'll be really excited to bring to you in the next couple weeks once I get some more details. But be sure to check out, too, if you're looking for medical braces, we have the MyID, which is a great product that's out there. It's a great way to store and access your health information. It can be used and processed anytime. They have bracelets, sticker kits, and even mobile apps available. If you use the special link and the promo code HOPE, and you can receive a 20% discount off your order. So definitely go to the website. You can get them there. You can go to endeavor.com/hope. That's endevr.com/hope. And you can receive 20% off your product. So we're trying to help everybody, offer some great stuff that's useful for everybody, that actually helps the community and helps people. Making a difference, and at the same time you're helping our organization continue to grow and help and support families that are in need. So definitely do that, and also anytime you can make a pledge or donation by going to autismdonation.org at any time. So but we'd like to thank everyone, as always, for continued support here on the program on Hope Saves the Day and autismradio.org. We wish everybody a great week, and remember, until next time, everyone, Hope Saves the Day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. To show you what I see, what kind of life will I have, what's in store for me. Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. still.